Amen. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Mark 12:30. And we're not going to, do the book of Ruth tonight, and even though it was in the bulletin. But who reads the bulletin anyway? We know a lot of our adults are not here tonight. So we're doing more of a devotional type message tonight. Look with me, Mark chapter 12 and verse 30. Familiar passage. I'm excited, too, about we ordered 3,000 chick tracks to take with us down to the Dominican Republic, so instead of 2,000. So Brother Ladd is very optimistic as we go down there. But I know when we were in Honduras, when we were there 2 years ago, we passed out at least that many tracks in Honduras. So look forward to that. There's a lot of things we've got to deal with. One of the things, the biggest thing we have to deal with is where the church is located. That particular section of town is only allocated 4 hours of electricity a day. And so we're going to be limited somewhat in the physical labor, and that's why we are taking a lot of cordless tools with us. And we're supposed to have found out today what the airline says we can do as far as taking batteries down there. But our hope is we can have enough batteries to, you know, get everything charged up and even be able to work a little longer after the 4 hours, which we should be able to do. So just a lot of logistics and things, and pray for Brother Ladd as he kind of gets things wrapped up. The final plans, and just a lot goes into it. Pray hard, if you would. Mark chapter 12 and verse 30. Mark 12 and verse 30. Look at verse 29. And Jesus answered them, him, "The first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." Verse 30, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." And we know this is repeated in the other Gospels, that he says that we ought to love the Lord our God with all our heart. This is also repeated in Deuteronomy. Not repeated, but it's mentioned in Deuteronomy that Israel was to love the Lord their God with all their heart, with all their soul, and with all their strength. And so as we look at this tonight, these are called the first in the Bible. Firsts, plural, in the Bible, where you find the word first, right? So that's the study tonight. So first is the subject, first, as it relates to, and we're thinking about first, not second, not third, not last, but first in the Bible. So we're to love the Lord our God with all our heart first, right? And then the second one, Matthew 6:33 says, again, familiar passage, you probably don't need to turn there. It says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." And so he talks there about that God's going to provide your raiment. God's going to provide your clothing. God's going to provide the meals you have. And God's going to provide your needs. He takes care of the grass. He takes care of the flowers. He takes care of vegetation. He takes care of the birds. And the inference is, if God doesn't care more about birds than he cares about you. Amen? And so if you'll put God first in your life, God will take care of you. In studying for the other the walking series that we're doing on Sunday morning, really getting a handle on what it means to be that we don't earn God's favor. God's favor or God's love is unconditional. Aren't you glad of that? But his blessings are conditional. And I think this is where Christianity has gone wavered, as we think about, well, I can do whatever I want to. No, Galatians still says you reap what you sow. And so as we think about putting God first, if you put God first, God will bless you. By the way, there were conditions in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19 where it says God shall supply all your needs. If you look before that, you find out he's saying there that we ought to be content with what we have and that we ought to give. It talks about giving there. They were giving to Paul's ministry. And so there are conditions. You say, well, God can bless even when we don't. I agree. I totally believe. I'm thankful for grace. But we should not take that grace for granted. That trust and obey, that there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Well, obey is there as well. That's the biblical principle. And so putting God first and recognizing God as first priority in our lives is paramount to everything else. In other words, God ought to be first in your life before your job. God ought to be first in life before your family. God ought to be before education, before anything else, ambition, pleasure, God should be first. I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight. You guys are here. But understand, God ought to be first. Everything in our lives, we put God first. And I think that absolutely has to do with jobs and everything, and remembering that. And again, I know who I'm preaching to. We are to seek God first. Number two, we think again about Mark chapter 12 and also the same passage that's found in Matthew 22, the one we just read. The first and greatest commandment, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. In other words, we think about putting God first and trusting God or loving God with all our heart is, again, putting Jesus Christ first. Somebody has said this, that joy is spelt Jesus first, others second, yourself last. Think about that for a second. Jesus first, others second, self last. It's just the opposite of what the world teaches. I don't know how many times I see on Facebook. I've seen it here recently. And while I look at Facebook still, I have no reason, don't know. But, you know, I see it all the time. It'll say something like, well, you've got to learn to love yourself before you can love others. That is so unbiblical. That's unbiblical. Be careful what you say. Be careful about the cliches. That's a cliche. You don't need to love yourself before you can love others. No, you love others, and then you will love yourself. It works the opposite way. You put God first, you love God, and then everything, all the other relationships become in their proper perspective, including your relationship with yourself. Hello, everybody with me? It's not about self-esteem, it's about Christ's esteem. Put Christ, esteem Christ first, and you'll have a proper view of yourself. That's the way it works. That's the way it works. It works the opposite of what the world teaches. It's the opposite of humanism. Humanism teaches that I'm God, that I'm the center focus, that I'm the one on top of I'm on the throne of my own heart. No, God's on the throne of my heart, or he should be. If we seek him first and we love him with all our heart, he should be on the throne of my heart. And through the Holy Spirit and through the power of the Lord, have him as the throne of my heart, then all the other relationship, again, 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. So the verse says, if we put Jesus first, if we seek him first, if we keep our eyes on Jesus, then our relationship with our fellow man, including ourselves, will be what it should be. Amen? Amen. Everybody good? Everybody awake? VBS making y'all tired too? Putting God first. Again, I like that. Jesus first, others second, yourself last. And I think for most in this room, we do live by that. And we think about that. I mean, God's first, you're here tonight. We think about our children before we think about ourselves. Amen? We think about others. And that's the way it ought to be. And again, you'll take care of it. Self-worth is not found in what you think of yourself. The value of yourself is not found in what others think of you. Your value is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. My value is not found in what I think of myself or what others think of me. It doesn't matter, per se, what others think of me. Not to have a good testimony, I don't mean that. I'm just saying, you know, my value is found in the Lord. If we continue to put that in perspective, that'll take care of itself. So we are to put God first. Seek first the kingdom of God. Love God with all our heart. And then 1 John 4 and verse 19 says we are to love God because he first loved us. The verse says we love him because he first loved us. God loved us. Again, God gave his only begotten son for us to die for our sins. Right? But God showed his love, or God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And I love that word so, for God so loved the world. The little word so is you can't measure it. He didn't say for God loved the world. He said for God so loved the world. His love is unmeasurable. You can't measure it. It's so big. And imagine that. The Creator loves his creation that much. It's an amazing thought if you think about it. Again, God sent His Son to die for us. We love Him because He first loved us. He first loved us. Number four, Acts 20, verse 7, we're to worship the Lord on the first day of the week. So we are to come together and gather as Christians to worship the Lord the first day of the week. This is found in four or five different areas in the New Testament. Again, Jesus Christ came to the temple, or worshiped on the first day of the week as they came and gave a tithe. And we are together on the first day of the week. I know who I'm preaching to tonight, so we're going over the first in the Bible. We're to be together on the first day of the week. And I'm thankful we have a good group that meet today, meet on Sunday mornings. And if not, we wouldn't have anybody to teach or preach to, right? Amen? Appreciative of that. I have written in the front of my Bible. I haven't said this in a while. I wrote in the front of my Bible years ago, it says, would I listen to myself three times a week? Yeah, I'm not sure I would. But I appreciate people who do. That's why we put Brother Wiggins in there and some others every once in a while. All right, so we are to gather on the first day of the week. I have a stack of papers in my office that I have gathered up over the last 5 or 6 years because there has been a resurgence, not necessarily because of the Seventh-day Adventist, but just a resurgence of people who questioning why we meet on the first day of the week and why we don't meet on Saturday, the Sabbath day, the Old Testament Sabbath day. And that's because Jesus Christ rose from the dead on the first day of the week. It is absolutely, it's absolutely provable. It's a fact that the early church met on the first day of the week. It's not even a question. We know they did, historically speaking. And then we know that from the perspective when Jesus said, the apostles said we should gather to give on the first day of the week, that we are to gather our resources to give on the first day of the week. So it is the first day of the week, not Saturday, that we are to gather to worship. And then we think about, again, let's see, believers first called to Christians at Antioch. Acts 11, verse 26, so this is number 5. Acts 11, 26 says, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. We covered this actually a little bit Sunday morning, that why were they called Christians at Antioch? Christian means Christ-like. They took notice that they'd been with Jesus. In other words, they were Jesus followers, but not just that, but they imitators of Christ. In other words, Christian means imitator of Christ, imitator of the one whom you're named after. And so that's what we strive to be, as imitators of Jesus Christ, as the believers were at Antioch. And I hope that tonight that somebody at work or an extra neighbor would call you a Christian, and they know it. They know you're a Christian. All right. Let's see, Revelation 2:4. Everybody good? Revelation 2:4. Our first love. It is possible that we could forget and leave our first love. I am going to turn over to this one. Revelation chapter 2. So John is, hearing this description by the Lord of these churches. And then the church here described in Revelation chapter 2. And verse 4 says, speaking of the church at Ephesus, he writes unto them, chapter 2, Revelation 2, verse 1, unto the angel of the pastor of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith, he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works. It's almost like the early church got caught up in what was going on around them, and they didn't put the Lord first. They didn't put the work of the Lord first. We do the same thing. I do believe we live in the era of the church of Laodicea. We're in the church of that is rich and increase in goods and thinks things are going great, but Jesus said they're lukewarm. But I think all these churches that are mentioned here in Revelation, we all have a hint of them. And that is, sometimes we can get so wrapped up in the programs and so wrapped up in the a process that we lose our first love. We need to keep Jesus first. Keep our eyes on the Lord. As I was studying again for the Sunday morning messages, which occupies a lot of my time, I think about the word worship again. Worship is, again, contemplating and thinking about God as Christians. It is that same thing that David speaks about in knowing the Lord, and Paul speaks about knowing the Lord. Moses saw the Lord. Job saw the Lord. Isaiah saw the Lord. We are to strive to see God afresh every day and worship Him not for what He's done for us, but for who He is. As we worship Him, then we will walk with Him. Right? So Abel worshiped Him, and we know Enoch walked with Him. That worship produces the walk. And I don't think I'm emphasizing this enough on Sunday morning, and I will this next Sunday, that there is a method to the madness of what we're preaching on Sunday morning and what it has to do with our theme for the year. And that is, as we worship God the way we ought to, we will walk with Him, and then in turn we will strive for Him. We will work for Him. The natural product, or the natural, what will come naturally to us in worshiping and walking, will be the working. Amen? It'll come naturally to us. So as we think about, again, Jesus being our first love and being called Christians first at Antioch and not losing that love for the Lord, it's about worshiping Him and walking with Him. Then it'll be evident by our actions that we are worshiping Him and walking with Him. As James said, you show me your faith, I'll show you my faith by my works. Enoch's testimony was that he was translated, but before that, before he was taken up, he had a testimony that he pleased God. And that pleasing God is a faith that works. For without faith, it is impossible to please Him. So again, getting away from that first love, let us all be careful in putting Christ and the Lord first. Our first love should be Jesus. Amen? I know that's a simple thought, but our love ought to be Jesus. By the way, the church at Ephesus was commanded to repent when they got away from that. And then we see the first fruits belongs to God. We see this from Proverbs and Leviticus and Deuteronomy. And all the tithes of the land, whether the seed or the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. The first fruits is the Lord's. Deuteronomy 18, verse 4. The first fruit also of thy corn, of thy wine and thy oil, and the first of the fleece of thy sheep shalt thou give him. So here again, talking about firsts. And then we understand that tonight. That as Christians, we ought to give God the first of our increase. And that is talking about giving our tithes and giving that 10% every week or every other week whenever you get paid. And by the way, the tithe is not different for anybody. It's all the same. I mentioned this last Sunday. It's giving according to what you make. Everybody gives 10%. I won't tell you what I feel the government ought to do, but anyway. I want to go there, but I'm not going to do it. Give the first fruits. You want the blessings of God? You want that, you know, coming back to you? Give the first fruits. If you haven't been faithful in giving, put Him first. The spiritual temperature of any Christian can be measured by this. Hello? It can. Your spiritual temperature can be measured by this. You say, well, preacher, I don't know that I could pay my water bill. You put God first. God will take care of your water bill. So, preacher, you really believe that? Yes, I've told people that. Been in the ministry now 26 years, and it works every time. You put God first with your giving, and God will bless that, and God will provide your every need. Now, you know, of course, you can do some... Anyway, God will provide every need. I was going to say you could do some stupid stuff with your money and whatever, but I don't use the word stupid anymore in public. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2 speaks about the first commandment with promise. I know our kids are not in here tonight, but honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And again, what is that promise? That it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. 1 Timothy 5, 4 says, let them learn first to show piety at home, pity at home, and to requite their parents, for this is good and acceptable before God. Again, our kids ought to honor their father and the mother first. The first commandment with promise. What is the promise? The promise of blessing and a long life. Let me again review with some of you younger adults, remind you. And grandparents, you're part of this as well. That it's our job as parents to keep our kids within this circle of blessing and long life. How do you keep them within that circle? Well, they have to honor and obey you. When they don't honor and obey you, it puts them outside the circle of blessing. I'm talking about the blessing, the circle of God. That circle which God says, if you honor and obey your parents, I will bless you and I will give you long life. When they don't honor and obey us, they are out of the circle and they're subject unto judgment. It's their responsibility to place themselves in the circle, but it's also our responsibility to keep them in the circle. And you do that by love and discipline. Hello. Right? So parents, when you allow your kid to not mind you, you know, not obey you, you are allowing them to rebel against you, then you're letting them put themselves in a position where God can judge them. So you're responsible as well. Hello? So we should love our kids as we ought to. We ought to put boundaries for them, rules for them, godly biblical rules, and then help them through loving persuasion to stay within the circle. And I'm telling you, I'm so thankful for my boys. My youngest one, he's the toughest one, and we still deal with him sometimes, but he has a soft heart. And I'm so thankful for my boys. And God, I remember years ago, I'm talking about 25 years ago. Here's something funny. So I'll tell a story. I got 6 minutes. So I've been going through boxes. Me and Micah did today. And first time ever I have a home office. I've never had a home office before. It's still not set up after we've lived there almost 5 months or whatever. And so really I'm trying to get it set up where I can do some studying at the house in an office. We don't have a formal dining room. We made the formal dining room an office. So going through boxes. And I came across the box, listen to this, I came across the box of my counseling sessions from 20 years ago. My notebook with counseling sessions in it. There's a particular family in there that's in there 5 or 6 times that I gave advice to about raising their children. And I remember them telling me several times, "Preacher, you just don't understand. We're raising teenagers. You don't get it. When you're going to hate having teenagers in the house. It's going to be just like ours." I said, "No, it's not. My teenagers won't do that, and my teenagers haven't. Kids don't run the house. You run the house. Kids don't make the rules. You make the rules. And if you lovingly have a good relationship with them by spending time with them, then." Kids were not meant to be endured, they're meant to be enjoyed. And I've enjoyed having teenagers in the house. Got one more left. One more left. I also looked through that counseling notebook and noticed that particular family never followed my advice. So anyway, here's what we're going to start doing. Every counseling session, somebody comes in and asks advice about parenting or whatever, they're going to put down a $200 deposit. It's a deposit, so you can have it back. If you follow the biblical advice I give you. If you don't follow it, I get to keep it. And then I'm going to go, you know, buy a rod and reel or something with it. Spend more time with my kids. Right? But it was neat to see that notebook. I'll probably write a book someday and leave the names out. But anyway. Parents and grandparents, responsible as well. To keep our kids within that blessing, that circle of blessing. Amen? Amen. And I've told you stories before about my grandparents. So thankful for the influence they had on me. And I was a hyperactive kid, and my papa, my dad's dad, had to whoop me every once in a while. He didn't like it. Grandma didn't like it either. But as a little kid, I'm the only grandkid I know that got whippings, I think. But I deserved every one of them. I was, something to behold. First in the Bible, 1 Peter 4:17 says, "For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. It is the first begun at us." It first begins with us. What shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? Judgment begins in the house of God. It speaks about persecution and those things that are going on in that time, and that we should, again, be careful about allowing leaven into the house of God. And this is another whole sermon that we could preach, but again, making sure, for instance, if somebody's going to join our church and they are living together, then we wouldn't allow them to join the church. We're just not going to do that. Now, we're going to work with them. We're going to give them all the help we can, marital advice, and try to get them married and so forth. We're not going to baptize a couple who's living together, because in baptizing them, we make them a member of our church. So we work through the process. By the way, that's absolutely biblical, that we as a church need to be careful that we don't have somebody practicing sin in the church, right? Openly practicing sin. Over the years, even in this church, we've had a few, and most of the time what happens is they leave. They don't feel comfortable here, and, you know, we've never had to necessarily kick anybody. Everybody all good? Is this on the internet? Probably, yeah. We've never kicked anybody, as far as I know, out of the church. We've never written any letters. Because if you're living in that type of immorality, you're going to be so uncomfortable in a church like this, where it's preached, where it's taught in the Sunday schools and other things. And so, anyway, it takes care of itself. But most of the time, but if it didn't, I remember as a kid growing up in church, there was a couple of instances where my dad had to take church discipline. And he carried it out. He did it properly of some younger ladies who were out of high school but weren't being appropriate. And he took care of it. I'm thankful for a dad who wasn't willing to compromise and to keep the house of God as much as we can in a pure state. All right? That's what this verse is speaking of, if you didn't know that. All right. Last one, Mark 9:35 says, "The first shall be last, the last shall be first." Jesus Christ did not come to be ministered unto, but what? To minister and give his life a ransom for many. And may we be reminded tonight that we are to be servants of those around us, to be kind and gentle and gracious and loving, and to treat others as we would want to be treated, to follow in our Savior's steps. He went about doing good. He did good unto all men. I'm glad he was no respecter of persons. Right? He ministered to the harlot. He ministered to the thief. He ministered to every group, anybody. What a great Savior we have. And may we be, servants of those around us. All right? Let's pray. We'll be dismissed. Lord, we thank you tonight for your love, and we thank you for these firsts that are found in the Bible. Lord, help us to put you first in our life. Help us to keep our priorities right. And I pray, God, that you would just help us as we go out through this week to minister to others around us and to be a witness for you, that we might truly be imitators of your dear Son, Jesus. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Thank you for being here tonight. If you want to hang out for about 15 minutes, 20 minutes, you're going to get to see some.